Assalamu alaikum and good evening, listeners. This is Radio Pakistan, News and Current Affairs Channel, Islamabad. I'm your host, Ghina Meher, with my co-host and co-analyst.
Assalamu alaikum, listeners. I'm Asim Bashir.
Listeners, you're listening to the program Perspective, and in Perspective, we discuss issues of international and national importance. And let me share the top stories of today. Listeners, as you know, that the entire week we've been discussing about Pakistan and United States relation, and recently Interior Minister Ehsan Iqbal has said that Pakistan wants peace and stability in Afghanistan. He has also emphasized that Pakistan is the biggest stakeholder of peace in Afghanistan due to its geographical proximity and socio-cultural bonds. Listeners, and when it comes to the politics within, we'll be talking about a very important topic, and that is CPAC. And the power projects under CPAC are to be fast-tracked and to make energy in the country abundant. And we'll be talking about both of these issues in more length and breadth. And Essensa, we still have 2 to 3 minutes before we go on the break. And today we have a very important international topic. And then, of course, then we'll be shifting to the politics within and then how development is taking part in Pakistan. Your quick comments on both of these areas.
Thank you very much, Gina. Of course, you're absolutely right. These are two very important topics, and the topic which we are talking about, and the top line topic which we talk about, is Pakistan is the biggest stakeholder of peace in Afghanistan, and due to its geographical proximity and socio-cultural bonds, U.S. policy is to blame radicalization, extremism, proliferation of drugs in the region.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Listeners, we'll be taking a short break. Stay with us.
Now you can download Radio Pakistan's app, Radio Pakistan Official, from Google Play on your Android cell phone to listen to live news, analysis, and your favorite programs and music. Download now and keep listening Radio Pakistan, the voice of the nation.
Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs channel presents in-depth insight into important national and international issues, with expert opinion by eminent analysts, whether it's national security, economy, foreign policy, or infrastructure development. Reaching out to our listeners from Gilgit to Gwadar, from Khyber to Karachi, with unbiased shades of opinion. Radio Pakistan, voice of the nation. Keep listening to the English show Perspective for latest news and analysis from Monday to Saturday from 6:10 p.m. to 7 p.m. Listeners, welcome back. You're listening to the program Perspective. This is Radio Pakistan, News and Current Affairs Channel, Islamabad. Before going on to the break, we started off with the topic regarding Pakistan and U.S. relations. But listeners, now we also have an update to share with you. Army Chief Qamar Javed Bajwa has visited North Waziristan, and he was updated with the security situation there. And since I'm coming straight to you on this very important visit, how significant is this, especially the turmoil that we are? At one end, we have United States, and then a visit like this, how important is that?
Well, this is very important, and you are absolutely right also that this visit has come at a time once the things are not very comfortable in Pakistan as far as the U.S.-Pak relations are concerned.
Right.
They are getting strained. However, Pak-U.S. relations have seen ups and downs for many years now. And things, they do get boiled, and then the things diffuse also at the same time. But then trust deficit should not be increased to that level where someone really feels hurt.
Right.
And Pakistan, for the first time, I think, has felt that way.
Right.
That U.S. Repeated accusations on Pakistan for not doing more.
Right.
And especially that is why today the Chief of Army Staff has gone even now in northern Waziristan.
Right.
Just remember that a couple of years back, nobody could have thought of going back to Waziristan.
Absolutely.
And what that war was we were trying to fight that war under two very major operations which had gone in, Radul Fasad and Zarbe Azam.
Yes.
You know, that these operations speak by themselves.
True.
That what all Pakistani nation, resilient nation, was doing out there.
Absolutely.
That's the reason that the armed forces' continuous successes brought this day today for us to witness that Chief of Army Staff again has gone. Life has returned to normality.
Absolutely.
Out there. People are settling down. The issues of IDPs and TDPs are being addressed to. FATA reforms are out there. They're being worked out. What is going to be the status of FATA in times to come, that is under discussion, and dialogue is going on at the national level. So all these things speak very loudly of the, not only of the military, but as the other civilian as well, those who are involved into it, but primarily as it was the responsibility of the armed forces,
right,
to return this area and have the writ of the government established out there. Today, alhamdulillah, that day we are seeing.
Right.
That is there. So that speaks, very hard efforts which have gone in by the, not only, by the present chief, but the previous chief.
Absolutely.
As well, and the present chief also, who continued with the same zeal and enthusiasm.
True.
And today, and repeatedly, you would see that chief keeps visiting. So that raises the morale of the troops as well, fighting on the border. Not only the morale of the troops only, but also the morale of the commoners there, those who are there. They are feeling much more secure today.
True.
I feel so proud of my country that we are so free. We don't see, alhamdulillah, touch wood for that we are not seeing those kind of every now and then deaths due to bomb blasts and
Absolutely.
These things and all that, and murderers and killings are going on. But alhamdulillah, things have improved a lot. There's a lot of peace in Sindh. In Karachi has returned to a peaceful place to live now again. And Pakistan overall has returned to peace. But for this peace, Pakistan has paid a very heavy price for that. You know, and armed forces leads in that. Where, because of the martyrdom of the young officers, the troops out there, the soldiers, the all ranks, the including the police individuals, the people from FC, from other intelligence agencies, all those who are not even the unsung heroes.
Absolutely.
You know, those names are not even were there, but they performed so well, and their names are still under the cover, and they don't want to be disclosed even. So I think the nation should be proud of its armed forces. The nation should be proud of its chief of army staff.
Absolutely.
And that is the reason that with a lot of glamour and with a lot of, big heart, we keep talking good things about. It's not only that we talk good about our army, but they prove it on ground. Just see that today chief of army staff has again gone to that place where I think, couple of years, you are agreeing with me, nobody could have thought of going.
Absolutely, Ehsan Saab. And I think that's a very important idea to set in the fact that the entire nation has actually come together. And with this, if I move to our prime topic, and that is Pakistan and United States relationship, of course, the relationship has always been about convergence and divergence. But now is the time where we're seeing a president making important declarations through a medium of Twitter. So how serious is that, number one? What does it tell us about the change of politics, the change of paradigms within the United States politics, and what are the way forward for Pakistan? Because when we're saying that, when it comes to foreign policy, you cannot keep all your eggs in one basket. And I believe that Pakistan has, our foreign policy has become very proactive because we have China to look to. There is Russia at one side. There are other countries that Pakistan is engaging. But realistically speaking, how important is for Pakistan to actually now gauge United States' response?
You have asked a very important things in that you have mentioned that one is that what is going to be the way forward.
Right.
And then what all is basically what you're trying to ask is what all is going on.
Right.
What is that behind that curtain which keeps coming up and keeps boiling, and that bubble is not settling down as far as Pak-US relations are concerned. You see, Americans have their own policy of controlling the entire world.
Right.
So the world has now changed from unipolarism to, you know, multipolarity. So that is very difficult. It's becoming difficult for America, to kind of country, to digest this kind of reality, which is there. So, and then secondly, Americans are feeling that this longest war which they have fought in this region, in the Afghan war,
16 years
war, has not brought that kind of classic results which they were thinking of. And still they are engaged into it, and it looks that they are not successful out there. So they want to really now get disengaged from there.
Right.
The pressure of their own people is there,
right,
behind them. That yes, that is why the Trump administration, if you remember, while he was contesting elections and all that, he was talking more about the Americans.
Yes.
That Americans first and the Americans that, and we are not bothered for others and we won't go for the wars for others. We are not for that, but Americans first and Americans for that matter. If that is the reality, for a second, if I say that that is the reality, then they should have pulled out their forces by now. The Trump administration should have done it. But then if they do it in that kind of a way, that means everyone would have said that, look, this is a lost battle, which again
True.
You have fought for such a long time. So then this is the end result. So they want to throw the blame game onto someone else's shoulder and want to have a clean disengagement from this region. So from if once they want to get disengaged from this region,
right,
the only country they are looking towards who was the foremost ally with America is Pakistan. So
right,
that is why this relationship keeps going bad and good in that way.
I'll come back to your point. That's an excellent point. And as of now, we have Abdullah Gul with us, who's a defense analyst. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you very much, and
Assalamu alaikum. So we're talking about the Pakistan and United States relationship, and let me share you that the Interior Minister, Ehsan Iqbal, has also said that Pakistan wants peace and stability in Afghanistan. How do you see this changing relationship between Pakistan and United States, and how important is an independent Afghanistan for peace and prosperity in Pakistan?
Well, you know, the situation in Afghanistan, the ongoing situation in Afghanistan is becoming very complex. And since August this year,
right,
Americans have realized very clearly that they cannot win in Afghanistan. In fact, it is going to cost them a lot, because in the past it has costed them over $1,200 billion
right,
worth, and then a lot of, I think, embarrassment in front of the world they have seen, and then all the allies, now they
right,
are questioning them, and especially when we see the situation in Middle East,
right,
what we have seen from the European Union and France and Germany, once very close allies with the United States of America, they are still, but now they have started, I think, arguing with American policies. Now, the situation is that since Americans, they have realized, but we must not forget about Trump's statement on
right,
12th of August, where he was very clear that his generals are incapable and they have lost the war in Afghanistan.
Right.
And on 21st, completely changed statement came, and the blame game started on Pakistan. Like always, they have, you know, they are claiming that due to Pakistan, they are losing war. So if they want to,
right,
you know, Pakistan to do more, but with 48 countries over there in Afghanistan, a small Afghanistan with lots of resources and ISAF forces, UN forces and American forces,
right,
and a lot of funding available, what have they done? They were unable to even catch hold of, you know, get hold of one Mullah Fazlullah. So
right,
it's, this is what is happening, and we have seen after 9/11, Daesh was created, IS was created, ISIL was created, ISIS was created.
Right.
Then this Uzbekistan Islamic movement was created, and so on, and TTP. You know, we must not forget about TTP. So all those who are actually they have provided safe havens in Afghanistan under the umbrella of all these forces over there. How come it is possible? So why they are blaming now Pakistan for every, I think, bad act of theirs or the bad decisions they have taken? Because now they do not want the American forces to cut a sorry figure in front of the world that they have lost the war. Look at operation, the operations they have conducted, the military operations after Vietnam. The largest military operations were conducted in Afghanistan, Operation Mushtarik, Operation Khanjar, Operation Anaconda.
Right.
All were completely, you know, it was a big embarrassment for America. Now they do not even talk about those.
True.
Now they have started talking to Taliban. Taliban is a reality. Whether we talk about the Moscow dialogue or then later on, then Kabul process where 23 countries participated, and then Muscat dialogue, and now the trilateral you know, talks in China. What was the outcome? That without Taliban, it is not possible to have a peaceful Afghanistan, because it's a reality. They have come up, you know, they have shown the world that they exist over there and they are very strong over there. But at the same time, we have to understand that the ongoing situation in Afghanistan is getting, you know, into a difficulty, because Americans are, I think, headstrong. They do not want to accept their defeat in Afghanistan. They are not accepting the terms and conditions by Taliban that, you know, first of all, what they say. They say that give us the date of withdrawal. We want American forces to give the date of withdrawal. Why they are not giving the date of withdrawal? Why they want to stay over there? What is the reason behind it? Because now Osama bin Laden's chapter is closed. So why they are, you know, insisting on that? Then the other is, that the remove the label of terrorism, and then the third is release the prisoners which they have, you know, kept in different places. So I think it is Americans who do not want any peace process to be successful, because they know that in any peace process, which is going to be, if it is going to be peace in Afghanistan, then definitely Russia, Pakistan, China, and this whole region is going to be benefited. They do not want, as we have seen, that they have always created conflicts. Even now, by you know, declaring Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, what they have actually tried to do? They have just created a conflict. And then, they what was the result in United Nations Assembly? It is very much evident. So they are trying to divide the world.
True.
And it is not going to work very long. But if we go in the past, then we see that it was India who was very close to Russia, and they had a defense deal with Russia. And Pakistan was the only country who was their ally. Now, when General Mattis went there, so Indians refused to give him 15,000 troops, which they were expecting. Now, nobody is willing to give troops to them. Look at their number one ally, Canada. You know, Justin Trudeau, the day he took over as the prime minister, what he said? He said that, you know, we are going to withdraw all our forces from Syria. And now he is even offering the citizenship to the Syrian people over there. So now Americans are in a state of confusion.
Right, right.
And they want to put all the blame of their defeat.
Right. Sir, thank you so much for your precious time to Radio Pakistan. Listeners, this is Abdullah Gul, and it's time for the Mera News Bulletin. Over to you, Ehsan Saab.
Mera News. Pakistan Navy successfully test-fired naval cruise missile Harbaud today. The National Assembly Standing Committee on Defense Production has condemned the recent statement of U.S. President regarding Pakistan. Prime Minister has said that the government plans to add another 15,000 megawatt electricity to national grid. Power Division has decided to meet all the investors engaged under the CPEC energy projects to further fast-track these projects. In India, normal life remained disrupted in Mumbai for the second day today due to protest after a clash between low-caste Dalits and right-wing Hindus. In Nigeria, 11 people were killed in suicide attack on a mosque in Borno State today.
Listeners, you're listening to the program Perspective, and we're discussing Pakistan and United States relationship. We'll be talking about the importance of a peaceful Afghanistan. We'll also be touching about the Indian question. As of now, we'll take a short break.
Now you can download Radio Pakistan's app, Radio Pakistan Official, from Google Play on your Android cell phone to listen to live news, analysis, and your favorite programs and music. Download now and keep listening Radio Pakistan, the voice of the nation.
Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs channel presents in-depth insight into important national and international issues, with expert opinion by eminent analysts, whether it's national security, economy, foreign policy, or infrastructure development. Reaching out to our listeners from Gilgit to Gwadar, from Khyber to Karachi, with unbiased shades of opinion. Radio Pakistan, voice of the nation. Keep listening to the English show Perspective for latest news and analysis from Monday to Saturday from 6:10 p.m. to 7 p.m. Listeners, welcome back to Perspective. You're listening to Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs channel, Islamabad. I'm your host, Khana Meher, with my co-host, Ehsan Bashir. And before going on to the break, we were talking about the Pakistan-United States relationship. Let me just refresh that. What is the update on this? Based on this, Interior Minister Ehsan Iqbal has also said that Pakistan wants peace and stability in Afghanistan. He was addressing a ceremony at police lines in Islamabad today. He also said that Pakistan is the biggest stakeholder of peace in Afghanistan and wants elimination of terrorism from that country. Now, essence of this is a very important statement, I believe. And a peaceful Afghanistan, of course, Pakistan has been emphasizing on it that it's for Pakistan as well.
Absolutely.
And we have, whether it was on political terms, whether it was on diplomatic terms, we've been going all out for a peaceful Afghanistan.
Absolutely right. And peaceful Afghanistan is not only in the interest of Pakistan, but for peace in this entire region.
Right.
And you know why it is important for peace in this region at this time is of the century is that a fortune has come into this region in shape of China-Pakistan economic corridor, and where the depending on this economical change and the thinking process or the mindset of the entire region is they want to see a lot of economic activity in this region.
True.
This region has remained to be victimized region.
Absolutely.
I would say always the invaders have come in this region.
Absolutely.
They have destroyed the normal lives of the people in there. The same model is you can see in the Middle East. What all is happening in Middle East, just see the crushed Iraq, crushed Syria, Yemen, name a country out there. The lives of the people are miserable. The same thing has come. We have been no exception to it. Invaders have come from outside, may it be in East India Company or may it be in the shape of the Russian invasion.
Absolutely.
And then followed by the Americans coming in. You know, this region has been, over a longer period of time, a person like me of this age, I would say that we always wanted to have some different life. We always think that we have a right of having that kind of life which anyone else is having in the rest of the world out there. Why can't we have the same? Why our lives are at the helm of someone else's decisions? Why that? So keeping that myth in the view or at the back of the mind, I think Malia Lodhi has done a wonderful, she has said that it would always be in the interest, whatever is in the interest of our country, whatever is in the interest of our people,
right,
whatever is in the interest of this region,
right,
will be that. So a peaceful Afghanistan is in the interest of this region.
Absolutely.
Is in the interest of our country. That is why we always keep harboring that, yes, of course, we would like to be the be frontline ally on the peace process regarding Pakistan with Afghanistan. We wanted to have a dialogue with the Afghan Taliban for
Absolutely.
That matter. And we invited them also. And in Mali, the same thing happened also. But then there have been forces. Those who are still from outside forces, they always sabotage such kind of our good deeds, which we always want to do. We want to tell the people. We want to tell the nations out
right.
there. We don't want to fight. Pakistan is a country which is a peace-loving country. It's a country full of emotions, hospitality and everything, long-cherished hospitality known to the entire world. You know that if you go to Pakistan, then the hospitality in Pakistan is unimaginable,
Absolutely.
Which is extended to the... Even in the darkest era of our, which we have seen, anyone who's coming from outside, we extended our, you know, arms for them and we laid out there for them. We did everything. That's the reason that people had started to basically take you for granted also.
True.
But now the time has come that Pakistan stands on itself. And Pakistan wants that this sovereignty needs to be cherished. And we have to tell the people, we are 70 years old country. We are a sovereign state with a nuclear state.
Yes.
We are so responsible state. We are stronger than what we were in 1947 or 48.
Right.
Today, the things are much different what the things were in 1971.
Right.
Today, things are totally different. So any misadventures can be a miscalculation at the hands of someone. So instigate. Getting someone on that account and trying to put pressure on Pakistan for your own interest to be resolved somewhere else in this region, I think the game is over because of the reason that we don't want to buy your decisions now. We want to really humbly put it across on the table that this is what is in the interest of the region and this is what we will do it. We are a resilient nation
True.
And we want to be known as that. Pakistanis will like to be known as Pakistanis. We are proud to be known as Pakistanis. Whether the restrictions may be imposed on our passport while you travel across the world, you are sidelined, you are investigated more than anyone else, but we don't do it while you come to our country where you come and we just see the difference.
Difference, true.
So the question of yours was very relevant to all these things that brought me a little emotional also aspect into it, that yes, we the Pakistan in Pakistan believe that we are doing enough, we have done enough. Now is the time that people need to realize. And there are countries of the world,
Absolutely.
Those who realize, and they always say for that matter, even America also itself, and so many from Americans also say that yes, Pakistan has given a lot of sacrifices.
True.
Now those sacrifices should not be just going unaccounted for.
Absolutely.
They have to be accounted somewhere.
Absolutely.
And we have the right to demand for that.
Right.
You
right.
See, asking us that you have spent some money or you have given, and that money also, let me tell you, it was not spent or was not given in cash, hot cash
yes,
to you. It was given to you in terms of military hardware. You see, it was made by you and you have given it to us for your own sake,
True.
For your own, to fight your battle. But you have never replaced or you have never been given even for one single soldier or one single individual who has laid his life from
Absolutely.
The Pakistani soil, you know, nobody on this God's earth can pay for that one simple soldier who has died for this cause. Because he has died not only for the cause, he has died for the global cause of menace of terrorism
Absolutely.
To be evicted. So where does those sacrifices go?
True.
Well, how do you not realize if one American out there or one Russian or one Chinese or one anyone else in the world goes and is martyred somewhere else, you know, he becomes a flash news of the world.
Right.
Where hundreds of Pakistani soldiers, brave soldiers and others, they have laid their lives. You see, we need to cherish now them.
Absolutely.
If no one else does, at least I do that. I really owe that and I really do that because of the reason that we have given our lives for Pakistan.
True.
So peaceful Pakistan is always a desire. It's not only a compulsion.
It's a desire
for us. And this is not only not a... And it is a compulsion for the rest of the regional powers in this region. It's a compulsion now for China to see this region
True.
Peaceful because China is going fast on economically it wants to gain up. And it is becoming a threat to the sole economic power of the world at the moment, whose economy, no doubt, I say, is very strong economy, is there in American economy is very strong. But in times to come, the American economy is feeling threatened by
yes.
the growing economic strength of China. Same way, the Russians are not sitting, aloof from all this.
There's a change of tilt, obviously,
the change of realignment of their countries
yes.
and the nations and their... So these things are making the whole map very clear now as to what all has to be seen tomorrow.
Right.
So in that view, I would say that, yes, of course, we have taken the right action. The people of Pakistan are together.
Absolutely.
And alhamdulillah, this makes us even more stronger because at... any point of time, this is also beauty of the nation that we may have our so many differences inside, and that's also the beauty of the nation.
Diversity is a beauty.
You are a live nation,
yes.
so you have to have a difference of opinions on
True.
Certain things. You can be together, you may not be together. So that can be there. But the thing is, once any foreign aggression is thrusted on Pakistan,
everybody comes together.
Then you see the strength of Pakistanis. They immediately get together and then they become one strong
one
fist. And that strong fist is a great message that this punch is going to be a real punch this time. Because this is no more Pakistan of 1947
True.
And 71. It's a different Pakistan
now
this
Pakistan.
Time. And this punch is a strong punch. So people should be aware of that punch and people should try to refrain
right.
from such kind of statements also. You know, irresponsible statements and tweets which are, being generated from very high, offices of the countries. They should be responsible. Pakistan's, on the other account, just see the Pakistan's reaction, you know, that it's a responsible country. It proves
True.
That way.
True.
Pakistan has not said that, oh, we will be tit for tat. We will be doing that. We will do that. We will do that. No, Pakistan has not said that.
Absolutely.
Pakistan reserves the right of self-defense. And that is what we do. We know how to defend ourselves.
Absolutely.
Nobody should go with this idea that tomorrow someone can damage Pakistan. Pakistan, alhamdulillah, is a strong, sovereign nation who knows how
True.
To defend itself.
Absolutely.
Now. So that makes Pakistan a strength, in itself. I see that a lot of important activities in this year are going to come up. And Pakistan, I'm very sure, my signals are very, very clear that I see stronger Pakistan rather than getting down and being sabotaged by some foreign
right.
Statements and all that.
Right.
Nothing can deter our resilience.
Right. Thank you so much, Aysen Saab, for your in-depth analysis. And I think I would like to conclude the topic as well. I think some of the very important points. Firstly, Pakistan has played the role of a balancer in this region. And for time, we're seeing that Afghanistan has emerged as a graveyard of empires. And we're yet to see that, how this withdrawal would take place. And in this regard, like Aysen Saab said, there is a changing need of the narrative, and for all that, all of us need to come together, whether it's our forces, whether it's the politicians, and of course to emphasize the civil society in this. So this new narrative must be constructed so that Pakistan can smoothly sail through all these pressures. And of course, as Aysen Saab has said, that we're a resilient nation. Listeners, will be moving on to our second topic. Listeners, now talking about CPAC, I believe CPAC has become a household name in our country. And of course, to emphasize the importance of it, I think in South Asia, the entire environment from geopolitics and to the shift towards geoeconomics because of CPAC has happened. And let me show you that power projects under CPAC would be fast-tracked to make energy in the country abundant. And CPAC upon completion will change the economic lot of the country. This was decided at a meeting held in Islamabad today between Minister for Power Division Sardar Awais Ahmed Khan Lagari and the Chinese ambassador Mr. Yao Ying. The minister also invited the suggestion of the Chinese ambassador for the planned meetings with the Chinese investors. Esnab, this is a very important thing, and we are looking forward to the fact that, how CPAC, as it's coming to its completion, and how the entire power sector would change, because of course power sector today is not only linked with development, but it is also linked with the politics of the country. So of course, when we're gauging the shift from geopolitics to geoeconomics, power is a at its central, because any country which does not have power cannot make its GDP better, cannot make out the economic card. So in this regard, how do you see the importance of Pakistanis collaborating with the Chinese investors?
Thank you, Gina. This is what we also cherish and say very loudly, that the friendship which Pakistan and China has is higher than the mountains of Himalaya,
yes,
and deeper than the ocean, sweeter than the honey,
honey, yes,
and all that. Energy is one thing which is a necessity of any developing country.
Right.
Or because if you do not have energy, then that means that there has to be contained or curtailed, economic activity also.
Right.
Because you will not have factories. You can't put on the plants. You can't run them if you have got no energy.
Absolutely.
So the energy is basically the foremost. But energy is not the only thing which is required to progress on, the projects which the China-Pakistan Economic Corridor will be having or has planned for that. Energy is one of the important things which is there. It has to have a peaceful environment also. It has to have foreign investors also coming in, and has to have a lot of money also at the same time coming in and flowing
cash
in and out,
yes,
cash flow in and out. And that is the reason that even today also, just for the interest of listeners and you, that Pakistan State Bank has given a sanction of, doing the transaction of the two currencies,
yes,
between the Chinese yuan and Pakistan currency, that it has been free hand has been given to the
and I think that's a very important
and, yes,
move,
and to the government and the private sector, that in whichever currency, if you want to do your trading, you are allowed to do that.
Absolutely.
So if someone wants to do it in the Chinese currency, well, he can do it. If someone wants to do it in the Pakistani rupee and Chinese currency and all that, so it can be done. So that means that the trust is developing slowly and gradually. The trust is developing, and that thing from which I started, that it's higher than the Himalayas, deeper than the ocean, sweeter than the honey, because it's not only the words which are there, the actions will speak louder than these three words,
right,
and it has to be proved that way. So that is coming in shape of China Pakistan economic corridor. You see, the we have also we see that in times to come, the kind of flow of the economic activity through the special economic zones,
right,
which are being planned in there, and in those economic zones, a huge, if you just give me a minute or so, that I can tell you that in those economic zones, there will be five-star hotels,
yes,
there will be places to rest for there will be workshops, there will be and imagine that the quantum or the number of trailers and the cargo which will be flowing from Khunjrab to Gwadar daily, there will be more than thousands coming up and down. So how much traffic would be on those on this corridor? So economic activity will be there, and it is going to shortly start with that, and there Pakistan obviously is going to make the most of it.
Right. Ehsan Saab, we also have a former sector petroleum and energy expert, Dr. Gulfaraz, with us. Welcome to the show, sir.
You're most welcome, please.
Sir, we're talking about a meeting had been held in Islamabad today between the Minister for Power Division, Sardar Awais Ahmed Khan Lagari, and the Chinese ambassador. And they have vowed together to complete the power projects under CPAC and to make them fast track. How important is this for Pakistan, and how important is the energy sector, your viewpoint?
Well, as far as the importance of energy sector is concerned, you cannot overemphasize. For the last 10 years, it was the energy crisis that held back Pakistan from developing at its capacity. Our economy was stressed. Our industry, some industry closed down, some industry moved out of the country. And therefore, as far as the energy, pursuing the energy to meet our requirement is concerned is the top priority of the government. And in this respect, the largest segment of the investment under China-Pakistan Economic Corridor of $35-36 billion is in the energy sector. And if in today's meeting between the Minister of Power and the Chinese ambassador, if they emphasize the need to complete the energy sector projects under CPC with full vigor and on time and make them early harvest, that's a great news for the country. And I'm sure once these projects are completed, Pakistan would nearly become power sufficient. And not only there'd be no load shedding, but it will also be able to generate much more economic activity.
Right. Sir, another question, because when we're talking about the energy sector, how important is the time frame given to it? And what are the some of the other considerations that one must take into account, especially in regards to creating economic zones? And what is the importance of doing these things in time?
You know, first of all, I just want to say that Pakistan energy sector almost became insolvent because of the mounting circular debt, and the very source and cause of the circular debt was expensive power generation using oil. And the country is already deciding not to generate any more power from oil. And if they were to discontinue generating power from oil, they do need other sources of power, which is cheaper power than oil-based power. And that's where this commitment to complete the rest of the non-oil-based power generation energy projects quickly, that is very meaningful for our economy. Not only that we'll save money by not using oil for power generation, but it also help us maintain the environment. So from that point of view, the timing, as far as the industrial zones are concerned, if all the power projects which are currently part of the CPC do complete on time, then there may be a chance that we may become power surplus.
Right.
And you cannot be power surplus, because these new power plants, if you do not utilize their electricity, you will still have to pay for them, and that will be economically a big burden. So it's a very important, by the time these power projects complete, that we are also able to initiate those industrial zones,
right,
so that there is a new demand and the economy picks up. So it is very important now that while we're talking about completing the power sector projects in time,
right,
we should also be talking about completing the economic zones, the industrial zones in time so
yes,
that they can utilize the electricity and we don't have surplus power sitting there and paying for it.
Right, right. Thank you so much, sir, for your precious time to Radio Pakistan.
Most welcome.
So some very important points have come out of it, and I would also like to bring your attention to the fact that the Prime Minister has said that we are at the threshold of providing cheap, efficient, reliable, and sustainable electricity to consumer. So the emphasis word is on sustainable. So how do you see that, and how important is creating a sustainable energy for Pakistan?
That's a very technical, I must say, that question you have asked, that how energy can be sustainable.
Right.
You know, because what we see is the scarcity of rains, and due to the global warming and the overall atmospheric changes,
right,
is bringing less snow and less water and less water reservoirs.
Yes.
So that means the cheapest of the electricity generation is always the hydro.
Absolutely.
So once the hydro is not there, you are left with certain other alternate energy resources.
True.
Like LNG, like coal, like diesel and oil and all that. But all these rest of the solar and wind as well are there. Wind is the, is also a source of energy which can be there. But, and wind corridor in Pakistan is also a very long wind corridor is there. The experiments are going on there, and Pakistan is fast moving on having energy from there as well. And other than that is the solar energy, for which solar plants were put on. But then I think that also is cost effective once
right,
it is done. The cheapest remains to be the hydro. And the hydro is always in the towards the mountains, and KPK and is a province which is most suitable for having that kind of things. By having dams on the downstream flow of water where it is ending up, and if we can make a dam to the kind of Kalabagh and all those, then I think Pakistan can also think of having totally eradicating the energy crisis in the country and having a reliable source of cheap energy.
Absolutely, Asin Saab, and I think one thing which is very important is to talk about the power losses. The power losses, in fact, they come from the awareness among the civil society as well, because we're not aware enough, we're not trained enough to actually, make sure that probably just by switching off your mobile phone at night, or pulling out a plug, these little things, they make the difference. How important is the role of media in creating that awareness? Because these things are not just alone. All the sectors, they need to come out. So when I talk about sustainable, people should also understand that, this is their country. The line losses, the cutting of electricity, the wastage of water, the wastage of electricity, all these things, they need to be put down there by the media. Your opinion,
Dina,
on this?
You have brought out a very, very interesting and very important point. Yes, of course, the line losses is there. And if may I add into it line losses, including the theft as well.
Theft as well, yes.
And then the third, which you have also mentioned, is, I'm just repeating it, the awareness. And awareness also and the mindset of the nation to build it, because the nations do come out of crisis by fighting together all
True.
These things. If you are really patriot, by just merely saying a lip service giving, it will not be probably enough now. And in that, of course, the media plays a very important role. The teachers play a very important role True. In the schools and colleges, where they can be given, child can be taught, for that matter, how to conserve energy in your own house and make sure that your country becomes rich.
And, the environment friendliness somehow is not taught to the children here. It's not part of our curriculum. There is no focus on creating, subjects and courses. There have been very few universities that environment has actually been now taken up by students, and, they're working on this. So, of course, because, the nature is something, we're taking so much of from the nature, and only 1% of philanthropy is going into the nature.
I think today the time is so short for this program, and the kind of discussion which you are generating is so interesting. I think that this program should have continued for another couple of hours, for that matter, because here we are talking, which you are talking is about the awareness to the entire nation, building up of the entire nation, and making sure, and that is what exactly is reliable.
Absolutely.
That because if you really do these kind of actions, you take it, then you are relying on no one else but yourself.
Absolutely.
And then you are yourself is answerable, means that if that kind of thing or sense is diverted or ignited into the nation, I think nobody can ever beat this nation ever again. But however, the education sector, the media, and all the rest of the things which you have mentioned need attention.
Right.
And probably the work has to get going on it. And there is a lot of room for improvement in so many things.
Right.
The only thing is that policies are there. But then those policies have to be implemented, and that needs to be seen.
Right. Thank you so much, Asin Saab, for your in-depth analysis. It's always a pleasure to share and host with you.
Thank
Listeners,
you very
let
much,
me quickly
Gina,
sum,
same
up,
here.
Sum up the topics with you. We discussed Pakistan and United States relation, and we also touched upon the importance of CPAC in the energy sector. Now it's time for the credits. Sound engineer Shahzada Muhammad Abbas. Coordinator Mudassir Rajput. Program in charge Hamad Kiani. Executive in charge Javed Khan Judu. Listeners, I'm your host Bina Meher with my co-host Asin Bashir signing off. At 7 p.m. we'll be taken to the Urdu Live Bulletin.